Romans chapter 4, we're going to pick up right there at verse 13. Romans 4, 13. When you've found your place, if you're able, let's stand together. We're going to pray, then we'll read the scriptures together tonight as we get into the Word. And this morning, we saw how Abraham was justified by faith. We talked about justification by faith. That's really the main theme of chapter 3 through 21 through the end of chapter 5. But this section of Romans 4 really deals with the promise of God that comes through faith. So justification by faith moves into the promise through faith. And so we're going to study about that. But let's pray, then we'll read. Brother Mike, will you lead us in another word of prayer? Amen. Remain standing. Verse 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Amen. We'll stop right there. Please be seated. We're going to try to divide this last half, verses 14 to 25, into three sections as we did the first half this morning. So in verses 13 through 17, you see, once again, the promise, just like justification, is by faith. It's of faith by grace, just like we saw earlier, the justification is by faith. God's promises to Abraham will culminate in those of faith receiving all things through the promised seed, which is Christ. Now, God promised Abraham a land, he promised him a people, and he promised him a seed. And that seed was not seeds as of many, but seed as of one, which is Christ Jesus. And so ultimately, all the promises are going to culminate in Christ, because it's in Christ that all things are fulfilled. This is going to come through the righteousness of faith. So, verse 13 again, the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. So, it's not that God said, Abraham, I'm going to make you a people, and I'm going to give you a law, and if you keep the law, I'll give you the promise. If you keep the law, I'll give you the land. If you keep the law, I will give you the promised seed, and in you I'll bless all nations. God didn't say that. God said, I will do this, and he swore by himself because he couldn't swear by any greater. And so God gave the promise, and he gave it through faith. Now, he says in verse 13 that he would be heir of the world. And I don't know if that stands out to you, because you say, well, how did Abraham inherit the world? I mean, God promised him, like, the land of Canaan. He promised him the promised land, but did he give him the world? I want you to consider this. Everyone who is of the faith of Abraham is a child of who? He's a child of God. And if he's a child of God, then he is a heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. And what belongs to Jesus? Everything. Everything. And everything that Adam lost when he fell in sin. All of the dominion that God had given to Adam and he lost in the fall, that was transferred to Satan, everything that Satan took over because of Adam's failure, Christ won back at the cross. and everything is his. All things have been redeemed by Jesus Christ. And all of those who are of the faith of Abraham are children of God and joint heirs with Christ. So how is Abraham an heir of the world? How are those who have faith like Abraham heirs of the world? Because when you trust in God, when you trust in him through faith in Jesus Christ, you become a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And all the promises in him are yes and amen. Let me ask you a question. Has anybody ever made you a promise and failed to keep it? Do you think that when they made that promise, like they had good intentions? Or they were just trying to be sneaky, okay? So sometimes people will just lie and they'll say, I'll promise. They don't really mean it. Have you ever made a promise to someone else? Yeah. And have you ever failed to keep any of those promises you gave? You see, we have good intentions, but we don't have the power to follow through with all of our promises. We don't have the ability in ourselves to keep a promise, but God can never lie. And when he promised a seed, he brought that seed into the world. Jesus of Nazareth, born of the Virgin, who lived a sinless and perfect life, to die as a substitute for our sin on the cross, and he kept those promises. And he promises to give life everlasting to everyone who trusts in him. And he promises to give a kingdom and make you a part of a kingdom when you trust in him. And so, friends, these promises are yes, and they're amen. They're true, and they do not change. So this is going to come through the righteousness of faith. So verse 15 says, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. What does that mean? The law works wrath because the law shows us our guilt before God. And you say, without the law, there's no transgression. You're not against the law, but we've already seen in another place, even those who were without the law, we studied in chapter 2, even those without the law, they still died from Adam to Moses. So even when there was no law, there's still guilt. There's still sin, and there's still the ultimate result of all sin, which is death. So he goes on, and he says, therefore, it is a faith that it might be by grace to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So the inheritance, if it were by the law, then faith is void, and the promise is useless. But the law works wrath, and it shows our transgression, so the promise has to be by faith, of faith, by grace, because it can't be in the law. It can't be in the law. So the assurance that we have in Christ is to everyone who's both in the law and those who are outside of the law, to the Jews and to the Gentiles. Therefore, it's of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations. And you say, well, that's easy because you got Ishmael, who became all of the Arab nations. You got Isaac, who became all the Jewish tribes. And so that's all that means. But it's not all that means. Because every kindred, every tribe, every nation who's going to gather around the throne, ultimately they're there because of the seed of Abraham, because of the faith of Abraham. So it's not just the physical seed that makes these nations, it's spiritually all who come to Christ of all nations are of the seed of Abraham by faith. And so every kindred, every tribe, every nation, all who gather around the throne of Christ in heaven, they are all there as those many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. This morning we saw back in verse 5 that he believed on him, God, who justified the ungodly. Not only does God justify the ungodly, but God makes alive those who are dead. The word quicken means to be made alive. So he makes the ungodly just, and he makes the dead alive. Is that exciting, anybody? Because, friends, without Jesus, you're dead in your trespasses and sins. You're spiritually separated from God forever, and he makes you alive. So, are you alive tonight? Alive forevermore? Alive in Christ, never to die again? Well, that happened by faith, and it happened through the seed of Abraham, which is Christ Jesus the Lord. Not only does he make the dead living, but he calls the things which be not as though they were. And you take it for granted like I do. But you ever just read in your Bible and he says things in the Old Testament, things that don't even exist yet, and he says this is going to happen, and guess what? It does. We were talking about King Cyrus the other night, and God named him by name before the kingdom that he would rule even existed. He named Cyrus by name and said he's going to come and he's going to restore and he's going to rebuild. Before it was even torn down, he said he's going to rebuild it. So he said things that were, even though they were not. And he talks about a kingdom we can't see, but that kingdom is very much alive and very much real. And God is going to do things that haven't happened yet, and he gives the promises. So let's go on to verse 18 to 22. Verse 18, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. We saw this morning that by faith, righteousness was counted to him. Now we see that it was imputed to him. So righteousness was put on him. Even though he had no righteousness of his own, God put righteousness on him because he had faith. We have hope, life, promises, an eternal inheritance, righteousness, and more because of the faith of Abraham. So what do? We need to be like Abraham and believe. We need to be like Abraham and be strong in faith. We need to be like Abraham and not even consider the impossibilities of a thing. We need to be like Abraham and be fully persuaded. And we certainly need to be like Abraham and give glory to God. I think these verses are some of the most beautiful in the New Testament. Who against hope believed in hope. What does that mean? Well, listen, kids. When you're 100 years old, the time for having children is past. It's way past. When the time of bearing children, your wife is past, and biologically that's not possible, it's way past. And so that is against hope. That's the impossible. But even though it was against hope, he still hoped. He still believed. He still had faith. And guys, we're so quick to only believe the things that we understand how it can happen, how we can see how it's going to happen, that we can kind of reason out in our mind how God could possibly make a thing happen. Listen, God's not impressed when you believe what you can figure out. He's not impressed when you hope in something that's pretty easy or obvious or humanly possible. What God wants us to do is hope in the things that are impossible. When you look at a situation, you go, there's no way that that's going to work out. There's no possible way that we could ever do that. That's when God steps in and does what God can do. He, against hope, believed in hope so that he could become the father of many nations. Now, I don't know how much Abraham understood the spiritual implications of that. I mean, we see it now looking back. We can go back and see, okay, God was going to make him a father of many nations in that the seed of Abraham was going to be the savior of the world. He was going to be a blessing to all nations through faith in Christ, and they would become the children of God and the children of Abraham spiritually. That spiritually he would be the father of all who believe. I don't know how much Abraham understood that. I just know that what God told him, he believed, even when it was impossible. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. How would this seed be? You guys remember? It would be like the number of what? The stars. It would be like the number of sand. He says it's going to be more than you can number. And God has done that. So, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. That seems like kind of harsh language, but here's what it's saying. When you're 100 years old and it's time to have kids, like, you're as good as dead. By the way, could anybody imagine having a newborn at 100 years old? Or 90? Or in your 40s? Listen, newborns are a young person's game. That's rough. Y'all remember those days? Can any of you remember those days when the baby keeps you up all night? Ben has no idea. But his wife knows about it. Man, I remember those nights when you get no sleep and you don't know which way's up, and you plead with a small child that can't understand your words. Please stop crying. Please go to sleep. And my wife was just awesome because at some point along the way, I became no help. And she's like, go back to bed. I've got this. And I'm like, are you sure? Are you sure? I'm back in the bed. Like, are you sure? 100 years old. But he wasn't weak in faith. He didn't consider that his body was essentially dead or the deadness of his wife's womb. He just believed God. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. What an incredible statement. You know, if it wasn't written in the Word of God, I wouldn't believe it. You know how many times Jesus turned to his disciples and he is like, how is it that you have no faith? Why is your faith so weak? Where is your faith? And we're talking about men who saw Jesus just take a few loaves and fishes and feed, you know, 5,000 people. And then if that wasn't enough, he'll do it again later and feed 4,000 people, and they would have more leftovers than they started with, and they still wouldn't believe him. He would speak to the wind and the waves, and they would calm, and even the elements of nature listened to him and obeyed his voice. He would call to the dead and raise them up to life again, and yet some of them still doubted even after they saw him risen from the grave. And Abraham staggered not at the promise through unbelief, but he was strong in faith. He was strong in faith, which was giving glory to God. You know, we exist to glorify God. You guys realize that, right? You exist on this planet to glorify God. And you know one of the greatest ways that you can glorify God? Just believe him. Don't be weak in faith, but be strong in faith. Don't doubt. Don't be doubting, but believe. Believe. God put righteousness on his account because he believed. He swore by himself. God swore by himself because there was no greater. And he was going to perform those promises. All Abraham had to do was believe, and he did. Glory to God. And the reality is, friends, you're sitting here tonight believing in Jesus because Abraham believed God. It's the truth. So, against hope, he believed in hope. Not weak in faith. He didn't consider the deadness of his 100-year-old body or Sarah's womb. He didn't stagger at the promise of God, but was strong in faith, being fully persuaded that God was able to perform what he promised. And he did all that so that he would become heir and the father of many nations, giving glory to God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now let's look at verse 23, 24, 25. Now it was not written for his sake alone. It wasn't written for Abraham's sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Jesus our Lord, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. It wasn't written just for Abraham. God would record in his word forever that Abraham's faith put righteousness on his account, and that was good for Abraham. And it was for Abraham to know that he had received the promises of God, the justification of God, and the righteousness of God was on his account. But it wasn't written just for Abraham. It was written for everyone who believes, so that you'll know that by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, was buried, and rose again, when you believe on him, his righteousness will be imputed to you as well. And I don't know if you're aware of this tonight, but you need something good on your ledger. Because without Christ, there's nothing good on your ledger. There's nothing good on your account. There is only sin. There's only rebellion. There's only wickedness. There's only death at the end of your ledger. You put it all down, and that the bottom line of it all is death until Christ comes. And because he paid that debt for you, because he died for you, then he takes your ledger and he wipes it clean by his blood. And he covers your sin by his blood. And he takes away your sin by his blood. And he puts his righteousness in your place. So now on your ledger, through faith in Jesus, it's Christ and his righteousness. Not just righteousness, not just goodness, but Christ's righteousness is placed on your account. So it's like you are legally in God's standing. You are like the perfect Son of God in your standing before God the Father. Is that not just beyond comprehension? It wasn't just written for him. It was written for all of you who would believe and look at it. But for us also, verse 24, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe. If we believe what? On him, God the Father, that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Not just any God, not just a God, not just faith in anything, but the one true God who sent his only begotten Son into the world to die for your sins because he loves you and because he wants to forgive you and he wants to redeem you and he wants to save you. And if you believe on him, God, the one true God, the Father of Jesus from the dead, who? Which Jesus? The one who was delivered for our offenses. He died to pay for our sin, and he was raised again for our justification because he didn't just lay down his life, he took it up again. Because he didn't just pay the price to take away the offenses, he rose again and he presented his blood as the atonement for your sin in the Holy of Holies, not made with hands, but the one true Holy of Holies in heaven to take away your sin once and for all forever. Great news tonight, isn't it? So what do we need to do tonight? Well, Abraham got promises from God and he believed them. And through that belief, he demonstrated that belief through obedience. When God said, get up, I'm going to show you a land I'm going to give you, he believed God, so he got up and went. When God said, I want you to take your son, your only son, your beloved son Isaac, and I want you to offer him as a sacrifice, he got up and he went believing that God was able to raise him up again because God had made a promise. So he believed, but it was evidenced by what he did. So what do we do tonight? Well, we need to believe. Has God made us some promises? Great and precious promises. We need to believe them. And because we believe them, it ought to change the way we live our life. We ought to live our life as though we actually believe the promises of God. That means that when you confess your faults, you ought to believe that God has forgiven you and he's cleansed you of all unrighteousness, and you ought to get up off your face and live like you've been forgiven. He's promised to give his spirit into your heart, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, and that spirit will be with you for the rest of eternity, and you ought to live like the Spirit of God is inside of you. And that he is empowering you to walk with Jesus, and that his fruit is going to be evident in your life. We ought to believe the promises, and we ought to trust in him, and we ought to live like we trust in him. Let's pray together. Father, I'm thankful for the time together and to look into the word, and I just pray you'll bless your word in spite of me. God, there's so many beautiful, wonderful, awesome, and amazing truths in these scriptures, and I pray that they'll sink down into our ears and into our hearts and that they'll change our lives from the inside out. I pray anyone hearing the message tonight who's never been born again, they're still dead, they've never been quickened, I pray that they'll come to faith in Jesus even now while we pray. I pray that you'll help all of us to believe you, that we'll be in the Word, hearing the promises, believing those promises by faith in Christ alone, and that you'll help us to live out our Christian lives as though we have truly believed and we are walking in faith by your grace. And by your Spirit, please bless now through the rest of these services for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.